Ecclesiastes, 3rd chapter, 1st through 8th verse. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace.
Oh,
a time for remembrance. It's really what Memorial Day is. Memorial, of course, means remember. And the day itself was established, as I'm sure you probably already know this, to commemorate soldiers who were killed in war. Specifically, the Civil War is when the practice apparently began. Tombs were decorated. Some of you may remember the term Decoration Day, as I do. Decoration Day was the day that tombs of soldiers who died in battle were decorated with flowers and a wreath, for example, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. This is a tradition that every year is carried out by our president, actually carries that wreath to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I'm sure you all realize that. But I think it's very important that we remember what God has done for us as a nation, because I think we have forgotten really where we came from. The price that has been paid for our freedoms is not a small price. In fact, it's a price that cannot be measured. I just want us this morning to think about this subject of remembering. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. In that battle, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, that we are not dealing with foes of flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers that are unseen. In other words, there are evil powers, evil angels, the Bible says, that God created to be good, but have perverted His truth and have strayed. And so we deal with these struggles, these battles. And I just want us to think about our lives as a battle. I'm sure you know that. I think just getting here this morning was a victory for most of us, because the devil wants to keep us from where God can speak to us and God can encourage us. God can give us those words that might change our lives. They will change our lives if we will take them to heart. So I just want to encourage us to just study the Scriptures, to be in prayer for our nation during this, especially this Memorial Day weekend, and just to appreciate the blessings of liberty. Not everybody has this, of course. The blessing of liberty is, again, something that a price cannot be put on. And yet we take it for granted because we're born, most of us are born here in this nation. We know nothing else. And so I think there is a tendency to take these things for granted. Now, those that are not born here, I think you have a perspective on America that we do not have. But I just want to, again, encourage us to pause for a time of remembrance. What lessons can we learn from these words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3? They can bring us, or memories, and I think what God is saying here is there's a time for everything, including a time for war, as you'll see, as I'm sure you've heard in the Scripture reading here, a time for war and a time for peace. God has an occasion for everything. Now, certainly not sin. And I don't see anything here as sin. Some would say, well, hate isn't hate sin. No, I don't think hate is always a sin. We are to hate evil. Personalized evil in a person. We're not to hate our enemies. But we are to hate those things that would take us away from God, that would destroy people's freedoms, that would exploit people as mere things. There is a time for everything, and there are lessons here that God wants us to learn. I think, first of all, a lesson of purposefulness, or a reminder of purposefulness. And there's a statement here. It says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, if you have a King James Version, it says for every purpose under heaven. I think that's really what it means. Purpose has kind of changed in meaning over the years, or we don't quite use that in a common everyday speech, but I think it's really what it means there. There's a time for every activity or every purpose under heaven. The word translated purpose there is a Hebrew word meaning pleasure. And you may be familiar with the Westminster Catechism. You probably never heard of that, but you're probably familiar with the phrase. Really, it's a statement of faith that says the chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy Him forever. The chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, that goes back to what the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 1, where it tells about how God created man and put him in this perfect environment, and yet man sinned. But God wanted to walk with His creature, a man that was made in His image. That was His purpose. And His purpose was to be glorified through this one that He created, to be like Him. So there is a, in this purposefulness, there's a statement here. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And of course, that includes war. Now, I know it's controversial. There are those who say a Christian should not have anything to do with war. But I would say that there are some evils that are so heinous and so destructive, not just to our lives or our families' lives, but to society, this race that God created, the human race, that we need to stand up against it. And sometimes through armed force. This is why we have police, of course, and our law enforcement people. Because sometimes it's necessary to use force to combat evil. I would challenge you, if you don't agree with that, to find any instance in the Bible where a person, a military person, is disparaged. I don't think you can find a place like that. Every time, for example, a military person appears in the New Testament, not that many times, but several, this person is spoken of in a respectful way. I think because God recognizes that evil sometimes must be confronted. And there's a sustainment here in this purposefulness. No individual, family, or nation can continue without a purpose. Lincoln concluded his Gettysburg Address with the well-known words. He said, "We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain." Speaking of those who had given their lives in the Civil War, of course. "But that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Now, those are very important words, and of course, they've been analyzed and memorized. But I think we need to be very careful not to forget what God has given us as a stewardship. This blessing called America, this nation that God has blessed and wants, I think, to continue to bless, but He only can as we are a nation under God and that has not forgotten Him, the one who really established this nation of freedom. And so there's a sustainment, there's a sacrament even. Churches like nations must have a purpose. We have a purpose statement. You can find it on our bulletin there. We exist, our church exists, Alturas Baptist Church exists to glorify God by seeking to win and lead all people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Well, I know it can be just words. We need a purpose, and part of that purpose, again, is to be what God has created us to be. A nation where we are free to worship God as we choose and as we please. And a nation that also is a lighthouse for others. This is the whole message behind the Statue of Liberty, as I'm sure you know, and the words that are written there. And so I just want to encourage us to love America, to pray for America, to seek to be continue to be a free nation. Well, I think we are very under threat in becoming a nation that is no longer free, where we're just kind of automatons, robots, just kind of living off the government. Here, it's very important that we have this reminder of purposefulness in these words. And I'm kind of summarizing what I believe these words are saying. A time for everything, it says. A time for every purpose under heaven. And a time, and all of these things add up, I believe, to a purpose that we have as a nation. So there's a reminder here of purposefulness. There's a reminder of changefulness as well. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Now, some would question that, but remember David danced before the Lord? And I think we ought to be demonstrative in our praise of the Lord. I think that's what it's talking about there. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now in that changefulness, I believe we are called to resilience. A dictionary definition of resilience is the ability to recover quickly from illness, change, or misfortune. The property of a material that enables it to resume its original shape or position after being stretched or compressed. Here I see a people that are resilient, a people that recognize that change is a part of life. Things are not going to be like they were back, you know, when we were growing up in the 50s. I wish you were. Well, I shouldn't say the 50s. I should say the 60s. But actually, I did grow up in the 60s, hard as that may be to believe. I grew up in the 60s, 50s and 60s. I was born in 47, right after the Second World War. But I've seen a lot of change in my life. And we can either embrace, and I'm not talking about, you know, the bad things. Now, the bad things we don't want to embrace, but the things that, you know, the technology and so forth, it's changed our lives. When the automobile came, I don't remember that, but I do. I have benefited from it. And there was a time that I was without transportation. So it makes you appreciate what you have. I think, you know, change we need to embrace. The things that are good, because God is moving us to that time that Christ is coming again, and He wants us to take advantage of all of these things, the computer, the internet, and you know, telephones even, just to communicate with people and let them know about Christ. One of our members was sharing with me this morning how his job gave him an opportunity to do that. Well, that's why God has put us where we are. That's why God brings change into our lives. I think partly to make us resilient and to make us realize that we're not here just to, you know, stay in one spot and never move, but to move upward and onward with God and what God is doing in the world. There's reverence here in this attitude toward change. I hear it in the words here. You may remember the back in, I think it was in the 60s, the birds sang a song that was based on this chapter of Ecclesiastes. Turn, turn, turn was the song. Well, I don't know that it actually says turn, turn here, but it's certainly telling us about change and how we should realize that God does not change. God does not change because God doesn't need to change. The Bible makes it clear that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Once He says something, He means it. He does it. He knows the end from the beginning. I mean, God doesn't need to progress. He's already there. He's already perfect, everything that He should be. But there's a contrast here that we need to realize, that God has created us in this world that is constantly changing. And yet, we are reminded of the faithfulness of God here. We're going to talk about faithfulness in just a moment. But we should remember that we are in this kind of a world. And remember that God has allowed these things to happen to our nation. These 9/11, of course, comes to mind. The war that we are in now, tragedy though it is, I think it is a just war. I think that we are not only fighting for ourselves, but we are fighting for freedom for people of the world. That's the ideal that we need to struggle for. And we need to remember that Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. We are to seek peace and to pursue it. We are to exhaust all avenues of seeking after peace. But in the end, I mean, doesn't it say here, there's a time for war and a time for peace? It does. That's the Word of God. I mean, I believe that this is the Word of God. And so these are not just the words of man or, you know, what we want to do, but these are what we should do as a nation. Stand up against the evil that will overwhelm us, not only overwhelm us, but overwhelm others. And there's a reminder, too, of faithfulness in these words. There's a reminder of faithfulness in season. Here it says, it talks about the seasons, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time for war, a time for peace, and so forth. It reminds us of the changing seasons and how God is seen in the faithfulness of His creation. The hymn writer wrote, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won." Well, I think that's an important statement there. The battle is not done. I wish that we could just pull out of Iraq and Afghanistan and other places where we're needed. But I think it's the wrong thing to do as a nation. We need to be courageous. We need to realize that sometimes wrong needs to be confronted. And so there's a season here in this faithfulness, seasons reminding us of the faithfulness of God to us. There's a submission called for here as well. The temporary nature of life calls for our submission to the one who is eternal. The Bible says that our lives are like a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. I remember quite a few years ago, reading the autobiography, not autobiography, but the biography of Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to the Hawke Indians in Ecuador. Most people wouldn't know who they are. They didn't at that time, but they were called a Stone Age tribe of people. They were warlike. They were constantly warring with neighboring tribes. They were even, I think, cannibalistic. Obviously, a group of people that was under Satan's dominion. And Jim Elliot was a very gifted young man, very talented, very smart, went to Wheaton College in Illinois, and came, I think, from out here somewhere, I think Washington or one of these states in the West. People thought he was throwing his life away by going down there to this forgotten place and really fighting the Lord's battles there in Ecuador. And ultimately, he and I think two others of his missionary companions lost their lives there at the hands of these savage people. But over time, these people were won over by the witness of Jim Elliot and the other missionaries. And now I understand that there are many Christians in that area. There's no longer the warring and the savagery there. And so I think it challenges us to think about, what really are our lives? What are our lives measuring up to? Are we measuring up to this ideal I believe that God is calling us to realize that our lives are described in Scriptures like a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away? Are we coming to the end of our life wondering, well, why has God put me here? Well, that's a sad thing. I don't know that God can't even use us even after we get older. And maybe we feel like we don't have that much time to lose or give to the Lord. But may we give the remainder of what God has given to Him and just to dedicate to Him, because He is faithful to us. Here it really gives me the impression of a faithful God who is faithful and who calls us to be faithful to Him. Supplication. A reminder of faithfulness and supplication. The hymn writer wrote, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me." I think it leads us to realize that God has put us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to live out His will, stand up against the evils of our world, to pray for our military, to pray for our nation, yes, even to pray for our president and other leaders. You may not agree with them. Pray that God would just bless America today, and bless our military. Help us to carry the torch of freedom to the next generation.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my Lord above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas
from sea to shiny sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time to step and say that I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.